For today, I'd invite you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. My text will actually be in Acts 8, but we're going to read, first of all, Romans, chapter 10. Our reading today, verse 13 through verse 17, Romans 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now turn, if you would, to Acts 8. Our text today will be Acts chapter 8, verse 26 down through verse 40. But we wanted to read Romans chapter 10. How is it that men and women, boys and girls, will be saved? Will it not be because someone who heard the calling of God carries the gospel to the lost? It is, isn't it? And in their obedience to the call, that servant went out to the people and proclaimed the message of Jesus. And they heard, and some of them believed, and were saved. Isn't that what happened to you? Someone preached, somebody carried the gospel, told you, witnessed to you, somehow you were informed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by God's grace you believed, and you have been saved. Well, it's true back then, and it is still true today. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Someone must tell. And that someone is someone sent by God on a mission to proclaim the good news. Now, let me caution you, do not conclude then, well, the only ones that share are those who are called to the ministry or called to be missionaries. Please do not make that mistake. As a child of God, you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You should be a witness of Jesus Christ. And so all of us who name the name of the Lord have been have the obligation and been placed under the responsibility to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So do not interpret those things which I say today to belong only to the pulpit or to missionaries, but it belongs to every one of us. And so God wants us to tell, and that's how He's chosen to save those that are lost. And so may we learn as we look into our passage. I've entitled the message today, Go and Tell, and may God grant us the grace to do that. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, we thank You for the privilege of being in Your house. Thank You for these that are here. And Lord, our heart goes out to those that are not with us today due to sickness or providential hindrance, and they'd love to be here and cannot. We pray that You would bless them and heal them. We pray for the wayward that should be here and just lack a desire, that, Lord, that You would touch their hearts and draw them to You and bring them back. But we do thank You for these that have come. So just give us hearing ears today. Open up Your Word to our hearts and move by Your Holy Spirit. And we pray that for each of us who are saved, that we would recognize the need to tell others about Jesus, the Lord and Savior. And we do pray that we would be used as a witness and a testimony unto them and, Lord, unto the world. And we do pray for those that are in our midst today that are not saved. You know their hearts, and we ask that You would convict them and draw them to You, that today would be the day of their salvation. We pray that Your will be done. We give You the honor and the glory and the praise. You're God, and there is none other. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Acts chapter 8, our passage today. It's a very familiar story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, but I want to make the application of being a witness for Jesus Christ. Go and tell. First of all, we want to look into verse 26 through verse 29, and notice direction. There's some direction being given. Acts 8, verse 26, notice the prompting. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Some direction being given unto Philip. We're going to cover verse 26 through verse 29, but here in verse 26, we see some prompting. God came to him. There was a leading of God. The Spirit of God moved in his heart and told him where to go and what to do. Now, I want you to notice not only is God leading Philip here, but I want you to notice how limited it was. Because it says, arise and go toward the south. Now, should Philip be a witness to all those that he's around and comes into contact with? Well, absolutely. But here, this direction of God says, I want you to go to the south. He wasn't to go east. He wasn't to go west or to go north. In this instance, with God leading him, God directed him to go to the south. And so this instance of the leadership of God in Philip's life was a limited instance. And missionaries, when they go out into the world, God directs them to certain places, do they not? God directs preachers to certain places and to certain churches. And so we need to understand God's leadership. And here we have the prompting of the Holy Spirit and directing Philip to go. But the third thing I would direct to you into this passage is there was a leaving. In verse 27, the first part of the verse says, he arose and went. There was obedience. God said, Philip, I want you to do this. And that's what he did. A few things to consider before we continue into this passage. First of all, God used him when he was active in what he knew to do. If you'll look back earlier in the chapter, you'll find that Philip was a minister of the Lord. He preached the gospel. He was in Samaria declaring the Lord's name, and people were saved, and what a tremendous work that was. But God came to him in the midst of his activity. In other words, what I'm saying to you is, don't expect for God to place any special leadership or direction in your heart and in your life if you're not doing what you already know to do. If you're not faithful to and being obedient to God's leadership at this point, he's not going to give you something extra. Philip was doing what God wanted him to do. And then God gave him other direction. I want you to go to the south. And so I don't know what God has for in store for your life, but I know that he has a purpose for you, and you can be obedient to him in your day-by-day walk. And so you just do that. And you'll find that God will open up other doors when he sees fit and give you opportunity. Secondly, he didn't have to have all the answers to respond. God just told Philip, go to the south, but he didn't give him the complete outline, did he? He didn't tell him everything that's going to happen. He just said, you go south. And I like Philip's obedience. He did what God wanted him to do, although he didn't have all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted. Also would submit unto you when we see Philip here in the leadership of God and God prompting him is that he was sensitive to God's voice. We do need to have a sensitivity toward the leadership of God. There have been times that I'd be driving down the road and I'd see somebody broke down on the side and God just impressed on my heart to stop and to see if I could lend a hand to help. And sometimes he would do that, and I would stop and help. Now, I remember one time explicitly over here, over on Yale Road, I was going down there, and somebody had broken down, and I thought, I ought to stop and help. But I argued with God for about 4 or 5 blocks. Finally, I said, Lord, you really want me to do this? And I turned around and went back and tried to lend help, and they already had someone coming to help them. But at first, I was disobedient. But then I turned around and went back and tried to lend the assistance. We need to be sensitive to the voice of God. God led him to go to the south, and Philip understood that, and he responded and was obedient. I fear that sometimes we miss God's great blessings in our lives because we're not sensitive to his leadership, and we're not responding when he does lead us to do so. We have the prompting here in verse 26. Notice the providence in verse 27 and verse 28. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. What we find here is that through the providence of God is that Philip comes into contact with this Ethiopian eunuch. God sent him to meet him, and he just said, go to the south. Philip didn't know where he was going, but he went, didn't he? And here, and lo and behold, he comes across the Ethiopian eunuchs. Now, the eunuch had gone up to Jerusalem to worship. He was a God-fearer. He was interested in the things of Judaism and the ways of God. But he didn't have all the understanding that he needed to have, especially in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's a fellow that had some interest toward the things of God, and he was coming back. And it was almost like, you know, these rest stops on the side of the interstate. And here's the eunuch is sitting here reading Isaiah, and God speaks to Philip, go down, and he goes to the same rest stop, and he meets the eunuch. And so this is the providence of God, bringing these two men together. And notice that God's timing was just perfect, wasn't it? I mean, they crossed at the right time. An hour before, an hour later, they may not have ever met. But in the providence of God, they met together. And of course, we notice in this passage that the eunuch was reading out of Isaiah. I mentioned that he was a God-fearer, but the Ethiopian has been prepared for the gospel. Of course, this passage deals with Philip preaching to the eunuch, and the eunuch responds to the message. But he had made preparation. There was an understanding. There was that which he's already had some inclination toward the things of God. I'll tell you, cold calling and people who are not thinking about the gospel are not likely to respond to the gospel. God normally takes preparation. I'm not saying that God can't save somebody who is that you come into contact with and has no concern about the God or the things of God, and you get an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. I'm not saying God doesn't save people like that. I'm sure that He does, but I think that's very rare. Normally, God works in people's hearts and brings them to a point of understanding and a point of knowledge and interest. And this is true with the Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading Isaiah, and God brings them together. And so under the direction of God, we have the prompting, and then we have the providence. Verse 29 is the product. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So the reason's very clear now, isn't it? God had a purpose, and He brought these two men together. And so, once again, we find Philip being sensitive to the Lord's leadership. Aren't you glad of that? God said, go south. He went south. God said, go join yourself to the chariot. He went and joined himself to the chariot. That's a positive thing. And again, he did what God would have him to do. Verse 30 says he ran thither to him. And so we find obedience of Philip. What an example that is to you and me, that we'd be sensitive to the leadership of God and responsive to what God would have us to do and be found obedient. Direction is what I see in verse 26 through verse 29. Let's notice then verse 30 through verse 35, instruction. So there's direction, now instruction. First of all, in verse 30 is the word. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Interesting that this guy who would have come so far and interested in the things of God, here he is reading Isaiah. And just when Philip shows up, he hears him read this portion of Scripture. I want to recognize, by the way, the importance of God's Word in the heart of lost people. This is how God works. This is how God moves. This is how we can know about God, is through the Word of God. How else can we know about Him? You say, well, we can learn from God from the general revelation, and that's absolutely true. We can look out and we can see the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth and the creation and say, wow, there's something more than us. Yes, we might recognize that, but it's not enough to bring us to God. It's enough to show us who God is and that there's a need to seek after Him. But we need special revelation. And I thank the Lord for special revelation. Now, I'm talking about the Word of God. Here's the eunuch reading out of Isaiah. I believe that God has revealed Himself in His Word. And God has given His Word unto man, and He has preserved that Word for us. This is God's revelation to us. And it needs to be read, it needs to be understood, it needs to be responded to. I encourage you, love the Word of God, read the Word of God. Keep coming and hearing it preached and taught. You want to know what God has to say. Now, the eunuch here was reading and knew something about Isaiah, but he didn't understand it, did he? I would encourage you, know the Word of God. Now, the passage of which is being referred to in the text, and I'm going to go back there in just a few moments and look at a few of these verses, but it's a famous passage that we record as Isaiah chapter 53. And the text there from verse 3 through verse 11 talks about the Messiah who is to come and the sacrifice which He made and the salvation we can have in Him. What a tremendous passage Isaiah chapter 53 is. Again, we'll look at that in just a moment or two. But we have Philip joining the eunuch in the chariot. The eunuch is reading his Bible. Is that good enough to express it that way? So we have the Word in verse 30. Notice willing in verse 31. And he said, Philip went up and he said, "Do you understand what you read?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I'm glad here that the Ethiopian eunuch, he wanted to know the truth. He was interested. He was willing to receive instruction. I don't know about you, but I know in my experience, there are people that I come into contact with and might engage in conversation about the things of the Lord and might have an interest. And these might be people that go to church and they might show an interest in God. But when you start really wanting to talk to them about who Jesus is and about the fact that men are sinners and under condemnation, you need a Savior and Jesus is that Savior, they kind of clam up, you know. They know what they know and they believe what they believe and they're not interested in hearing the true Word of God. What a sad thing. I like the eunuch here. He says, "Do you understand what you read?" And the guy said, "No, I don't understand it. Will you help me?" And Philip says, "Yeah, I'll be glad to." And oh, for the opportunity to share the gospel with people who are interested in the Word of God and interested in instruction. Those really are the best opportunities to witness, isn't it? Those who want to know and are willing to know and are curious, and we have that opportunity to sit down and to talk with them. I'm glad that the eunuch was willing, Philip was willing, and that's how that works. May we be willing, and may God bring us into contact with people who are willing, and we'll be able to share Jesus Christ. You see, it's the idea of go and tell. And so Philip was to go, and now he gets the opportunity to tell. And so we have in verse 32 through verse 35 under this instruction is the third point, the witness. What does Philip say unto the eunuch? Verse 32 through verse 35. And so he desired Philip to come up and sit with him, and the place that the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Wow, what a tremendous opportunity here. I said I would go back to Isaiah 53. I invite you to go back there at this time. Isaiah chapter 53. This is the text which the eunuch was reading. Specifically, where we pick it up in our passage, and I say that because you have to bear in mind at that time the passage wasn't chapter and verse. That was a later addition by men so that we could find particular places. For us, it is Isaiah 53, and it's verse 7, the last part of the verse, into verse 8. It says, and I'll just read the whole verse 7. Isaiah 53, 7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth." Notice, this is what he was reading. "He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter," Isaiah 53, 7, "and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken." What a tremendous passage this is. What an opportunity that the eunuch would be reading this text. And I like what Philip did here. He preached unto him Jesus. Does Isaiah 53 speak about Jesus? Absolutely. Is this prophecy about the coming of the Messiah and the sacrifice which he would make? Absolutely. And so you go back and you read at the beginning of the chapter, and he says, "Well, who hath believed our report?" Remember, we heard those words over in the book of Romans, chapter 10, in our reading. Who believed our report? But notice verse 3, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Christ came into the world, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, verse 5 says. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, became a sacrifice for sinners so that we might have eternal life. Verse 6 says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Christ became a sacrifice so that I might have eternal life. And we read in those verses here, he was oppressed. He was as a lamb before the slaughter, but he didn't open up his mouth. He didn't rebel. He didn't turn away from it. And he was killed. Of course, we know that he was risen again from the dead. Verse 10 tells us that text that God was pleased to bruise him. Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for us. And verse 11 says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus Christ alone is the Savior. And so you go back to our text in Acts chapter 8. And here's Ethiopian eunuch reading out of Isaiah, and he has enough understanding to go, I don't know what this means. Who's he talking about? Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about some other? And he opens his mouth, Philip does, and preaches unto him Jesus. Wouldn't it be tremendous if we had that narrative? Wouldn't it be great if we had the verses that were there from verse 35 into verse 36? We don't have it. Well, boy, that'd be a great, great message if we did. Preach to him Jesus and about the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And so Philip was given direction. And when he meets up with the eunuch, there's instruction that goes on. Well, notice the third point of the message today, and it's verse 36 down through verse 40. Notice the conversion. We'll read all these verses and come back. And as they went on their way, not much there between 35 and 36, is there? No detail. But it says, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. What a tremendous story here. Now the thing that I want to bring out primarily as we look at this conversion of the eunuch, do you think that he was saved? I do. You think there was a difference in his heart and his life? Absolutely. Proof is found in our text. Now, I'm going to skip verse 36 for just a moment, lest we cloudy the picture some. Don't want to blur it up right now. I want you to notice verse 37. And I want you to recognize the belief of the Ethiopian eunuch. He's interested in baptism, and we'll express that in just a moment, why that was the case. But Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, then you may be baptized. His response was, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, what's the important takeaway here? When he was reading the book of Isaiah, and we found it in chapter 53, and he was discussing those verses with him, that he preached unto him Jesus. And so that which I gave you in quick summation just a few moments ago about Christ being our sacrifice for sinners and justifying, he makes it possible for people to be justified, that God looked down, saw the travail of his soul, and he was a substitute for sinners. You know full well that Philip preached that. And you know full well that he preached that Jesus was the Son of God that should come into the world. And so he knew all that he needed to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he was put to the test here, His confession was, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, it's absolutely essential that you know Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You cannot reject the Son and hold to the Father. You cannot do that. If you believe in the Son, you believe in the Father. You believe in the Father, you believe in the Son. I told you before, but I have an acquaintance that he believes in God. He believes in God and thinks he follows after God, but he rejects Jesus Christ. John chapter 5 makes it very explicit that you cannot do that. And Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. If you accept one, you accept the other. Philip preached to him Jesus. He knows that this one name, who is Jesus the Christ, is the Son of God. He believes that. So he believes in the incarnation, God sending his Son into the world. God did so love the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he sent his Son into the world. Who was this Son? Well, it was Jesus the Christ. The Christ is the anointed one. He is the Messiah, the promised one that was to come. But Jesus is the word for Savior, Yeshua. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Did the eunuch understand that? Out of that Old Testament passage, Philip taught him about God becoming a man and become a sacrifice for sinners, that he is the Messiah that was to come, and that he was the Savior. And so when Philip presses him here about, well, he wants to be baptized, and Philip says, oh, wait a minute, before baptism, you have to believe. Do you believe? What does he believe? He makes it very clear. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, the eunuch was saved. He repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has eternal life. The emphasis here is upon the eunuch's belief. And he makes that grand confession in verse 37. Have you made that kind of confession? Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If not, I still point you to Jesus because he alone is the Savior. So in this conversion of the eunuch, we find certainly and primarily the matter of belief. But let's back up for a moment because the question of baptism does come in. And there's some confusion about that in our society in some degree. And so let's clear it up a little bit here with this story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. We have the matter of baptism. Did Philip baptize the eunuch? He did, verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The eunuch had requested that, didn't he? We saw that verse 36. Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Do you know what that tells me? That tells me that when Philip was preaching to him about Jesus, that he not only taught him about being saved and knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but he also taught him about Christian walk and Christian service. That includes the matter of baptism. There's no doubt in my mind that Philip taught him, once you're saved, you need to follow your Lord in water baptism. How do I know that? Because as soon as they got to this big pool of water, he says, here's water. What keeps me from being baptized? So Philip had to have taught him about baptism. And the Ethiopian, he was willing to be obedient. And by the way, he was obedient. He was baptized, wasn't he? But what was the foundation for that baptism? When he said, what hinders me to be baptized, how did Philip respond? Verse 37, once again, Philip said, he's talking about baptism, and Philip says, if you believe with all your heart. And he says, well, I believe in Christ. Then he baptized him. You see, some in our society get that reversed. Some say that you got to be baptized in order to go to heaven. That's not what Philip believed. And that's not what Philip taught. Because here's the eunuch saying, I want to be baptized. And if he thought that, well, baptism was necessary to get to heaven, what Philip's going to do? He's going to put on the brakes in that chariot. They're going to run down in the water. He's going to baptize him because here's a guy that wants to be washed, will have his sins washed away. I'll tell you, the only way you can have your sins washed away is through the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Philip had taught him about the Savior, taught him about salvation and service. He knew about baptism. What does hinder me to be baptized? Do you believe? That's the question. Are you saved? Then you can be baptized. And so he believed, he makes that confession, and of course, he was baptized. Was the eunuch converted? Absolutely. Change in his life. He even followed the Lord in scriptural baptism, which some professing Christians don't even do that. But the end of the text then, notice the business. So we have belief, we have baptism, and the business once again, verse 39, verse 40, and we talked about this earlier. But what you find here in verse 39, Philip is caught away by the Spirit of God. The eunuch doesn't see him anymore. What does the eunuch do? He returns home, and he goes about his regular business that he did before. But you know what? He was a changed man. Why? He was a saved man. And he left. He went up to Jerusalem. He, even when he was at Jerusalem, he was still lost. It was only when Philip came up to him and preached to him Jesus when he was saved by God, by God's grace and mercy. And he went from there on rejoicing. I have a sneaking suspicion that he continued to read his Bible. You know why? Because that's what he did before. He continued to seek after God and worship Him. That's what he was trying to do before. But now he's saved. Did he go about his business and do what he was supposed to do? Yes, he did. And he went his way rejoicing. Salvation will do that, won't it? It'll change your life forever. Send you rejoicing. I encourage you, dear Christian friend, be what God would have you to be. Be faithful to what God would have you to be faithful toward. And so he went about his business, but Philip went about his. He was directed of God to keep on preaching and to keep on evangelizing. And so we read in verse 40 that he continued to preach and go from place to place because he was Philip the evangelist. And so he just kept on ministering. But we find the direction in the passage, we find the instruction in the passage, and we find the conversion in the passage. Let me offer you a few thoughts in closing. Do you remember what we read in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 13 through verse 17? Anyone who believes can be saved, right? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? What it is go and tell. Go and tell. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Someone who is interested can hear, and they can believe, can't they? You're one of them if you're saved. The eunuch was another. And if you look into the book, Acts chapter 8, so many at Samaria were saved. He went on preaching, others were saved. Let us be a witness of Jesus Christ. Those who are interested in the things of God, they can hear about the truth and they can believe by God's grace and by His mercy. Philip is an encouragement unto us to be sensitive to God's leading and then to be faithful in our witness for Him. I submit unto you, my dear friend, that God can and will use you in the work of the gospel if you will yield yourself to Him. I'm not saying you have to go to a foreign land to be a missionary. But as God brings people across your path, He'll lay upon your heart. You know what? You ought to talk to that individual. You ought to give a tract to that person. You ought to say something about Jesus here. And may we take advantage of that. The other day, I was coming out of the hospital, and I could kick myself for this, and I just didn't do it. Somehow, I was walking out of the hospital, and I saw a guy there. We had conversation in the elevator. We had conversation out the door. We stood outside the door. And I left that fellow without even mentioning the name of Jesus. What a shame. What a shame. I should have told him. I knew I should have told him. And I walked off. God put us together. He might have been saved for all I know. But I don't know because I didn't stop to ask. And I knew that God brought us together and I failed. Let's not do that. Let's respond to Philip. Let's see his example. Let's see his obedience. Simply let us go and tell. As God moves on your heart and you have opportunity, share Jesus Christ. And let us come rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. May we go and tell. Let's stand. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. Let us find great encouragement from your word. Direct our hearts. Let us be a witness for Jesus. And I pray for any in our midst today that's lost, Lord, they've heard enough about Jesus today and from your word about who He is and what He accomplished, and oh, that today they might be saved. We ask that You would convict them and draw them. Grant repentance and faith that they'd be saved today. Lord, we'll give You the honor and the glory and the praise. Again, we just praise You and thank You so much for this privilege. May Your will be done. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Number 300.